Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of Bubbles Abroad by Sarah Strohmeyer, narrated by Barbara McCullough. This book is copyrighted 2004, Sarah Strohmeyer, LLC. This recording is copyrighted 2004 by Recorded Books. After a catfight at a stuffy Historical Society meeting nearly kills her career, Bubbles Yablonsky is given just 1 week to prove her worth to her editors at the News Times, to find out who really murdered a local steel executive with cyanide-tipped fingernails. This could earn her a real job at the paper, not to mention cracking her biggest story ever. But Bubbles soon realizes that there's a lot more at stake than just her career. And now, Bubbles Abroad.
Chapter 1. Mrs. Carol Weaver, rhododendron expert of the Lehigh Garden Club, demon on the tennis court, and wife to the late steel vice president Halsey Weaver, was not the type to slum it on our side of town unless her maid needed a lift home. So what was she doing on my West Gep Street doorstep, far from her exclusive Socon Valley mansion, on a sleeting Sunday night? More important, where did she find that matching cashmere sweater set and pearls? But those weren't the only questions I had for her. "Aren't you supposed to be in prison?" I asked. "Didn't you, like, kill a bunch of people?" "Not a bunch. One." Carol hugged her bony shoulders. "And I didn't do it. Now, are you going to let me in, Bubbles? Or are you going to call the cops and blow the biggest news story of a lifetime?" What could I do? It was November, almost Thanksgiving, and it seemed unseasonably cruel to let this murderess, albeit a polite and peppy murderess, freeze to death on my fading green astroturf welcome mat. Also, the next morning began my first week of tryouts for an official, full-time, paid-with-benefits staff position at the News Times. This was not the night to be turning away biggest news stories of a lifetime. "All right," I said, ushering her inside. "But not for long. You need to leave before the cops find you here." "I've been discreet," she said, stepping in delicately. I checked the neighbors, and sure enough, Mrs. Hamill's ruffled white curtains quickly closed. Discreet held no coin on West Gep. Carol looked damn good for a 50-year-old woman who'd spent the last 8 months in the state correctional institution in Jakeville. I hadn't a clue as to how she had managed to find a pill-free sweater set or keep her roots fresh in the slammer. I wanted to examine her nails, but caught myself. That was a sore point, especially between us. Like a queen surveying her subjects before bending to the guillotine, Carol maintained a regal, composed air. I don't know if her aim was to calm my jumpy nerves. A cold-blooded murderer in my living room? But it worked. Temporarily, at least. She settled into my couch and wrinkled that button nose of hers in disgust, thereby making me feel like the criminal. My coffee table was strewn with potato chip bags and empty A-treat bottles, along with an ashtray overflowing with G's basic cigarettes. G is my daughter Jane's boyfriend, a guy so lazy that he shortened his name to one letter, G, for, as he puts it, God or genius, depending. I hustled about with a dark green garbage bag, tossing in my crusty black plastic tray of Lean Cuisine lasagna, and mumbling about whether I could get her some hot tea, as though tea was something we actually drank in this house. "Hot water," she replied, shivering. "You want some?" "No, I'm in it." "Oh." I put down the garbage bag and sat on the cleared coffee table. "I guess that's why you're here, say?" My gaze wandered over to my purse, which held my spiral-bound reporter's notebook. It's not every day that a murderer escapee wanders into the house of a beautician-turned-budding reporter, offering the news story of a lifetime. "I'm here because I need a real reporter, one who's not too jaded to get at the truth.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?